We can ask the what if question looking forward, but we can also ask that question looking backwards into our past. To do so can be helpful on occasion, particularly in a counseling or a therapy situation where we're thinking about maybe a bad event that's happened in our lives. And we need to think through those events and then be helped to move forward once again in our thinking. But the big problem with what if questions looking backwards to our past is that they very soon change into if only questions. If only questions. And if only questions can suck out hope. They can make us very sad. And they can make us feel that the best of our lives is yet to come. Or is gone, actually. We've had it. If only, for example, I'd listen to the school teacher who told me not to walk on the wall. But I still did it, and now I've injured my leg, and I'm in hospital. If only I tried harder at school when I was a child, now I'd have a better job. If only I'd not said those harsh words, those horrible words to my friend, I'd still have that friend. If only I hadn't done that. If only I hadn't bought that shiny new Peugeot 305 that now I can't afford and I'm in debt and it's worrying me silly. Let's focus on the events of that recorded for us on this resurrection day. We're told that Jesus is dead. His disciples are in hiding. They're worried for their lives. They are deeply sad. The best years, in their view, have gone. Jesus is dead. Looking at the recent past events, their minds are full of those terrible questions. If only Peter was feeling, oh, if only I had not denied Jesus and I did it 3 times, how could I? And Jesus warned me I'd do this. Why didn't I keep my mouth shut? If only I hadn't done that. And the other disciples would have been feeling, if only we'd stayed awake at the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was arrested. We were asleep and he told us, keep awake. And we didn't. And I wasn't there for Jesus in his worst hour. If only. And with those if only thoughts on Easter day, there is suddenly a knocking at the door. My own bit of drama. There's a knocking on the door and these women rush in, Jesus' followers, and they burst in and declare, we've been to the tomb where Jesus lay and Jesus isn't there. Not only that, angels are saying, angels, we've seen angels, get away with it. And they're saying, Jesus is alive. And then Mary Magdalene comes in, the first evangelist, and says to the disciples, I have seen Jesus. Jesus has spoken with me. Jesus is alive. And the disciples said, this is too wonderful. This is too amazing. It can't be. And when people today hear the news that Jesus is alive, they think to themselves, like the first disciples, this can't be. It's too wonderful. It's too wonderful to think that Jesus died on a cross to save us, to forgive us our if only pasts. That he can remove our if only moments of our lives. That he will be with us in the present and into eternity. And that heaven is to come. The best is yet to come. This is too wonderful. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the course changer of human history. The wonderful opportunity for every person to have the direction of their lives changed. a 180 degree change around. And the technical word for that is repentance. Our lives are going one direction, full of what if onlys. But when we encounter the risen Jesus, we are turned around and we look forward again. Our if onlys of the past are forgiven, and we are gifted by God forgiveness and mercy and love, which germinates wonder of worship. God is worth it. Our time, our energy, our everything. He is our Savior. He is the Lord. He changes the questions of life that we ask. The wonder is that Jesus loves and has died for each one of us. And he's risen today. And who offers to walk with us and talk with us through the journey of life until one day we see him face to face. The best is yet to come. The power of sin and Satan and death are broken by Jesus' sacrifice for you. How did this play out for the disciples? Let's just take one example, the example of Peter. He's overwhelmed with these thoughts of sadness and of guilt and if onlys. But when he hears from Mary Magdalene that Jesus is alive, when he hears from these women that Jesus isn't in the tomb, he thinks to himself, forward again. What if questions? What if Jesus really is alive? That I could put things right with Jesus and say sorry. Hope flickers into life. He runs to the tomb and he goes fully inside that tomb. And Jesus is not there and he's completely puzzled. He doesn't know what to do. So he goes away from the tomb, scratching his head as if it were. And in those moments, suddenly, Jesus appears to him. Why Peter first? Because Peter is consumed with those what if only questions, full of regret, and it's deeply painful. And in that private, beautiful conversation, Peter is forgiven and rejoices in a new future. Forward-looking what ifs of wonder, peace, and joy. And many years later, Peter wrote a book that's in the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8 says this. Peter's speaking to Christians. He says, you believe, and so you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. An inexpressible, you can't really describe it, but it's a glorious joy. And that was Peter's experience of being a follower of the risen Jesus. Sometimes there were some real highs, sometimes there were some real lows. It went up and down and up and down, even as he followed Jesus. But he was able to say, you believe, and so are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. In my Bible, I've got that underlined. 1 Peter 1, verse 8. It's a one-sentence testimony of the life of that man who knew Jesus personally, both before his death and after his death, the resurrected Christ. We're going into a prayer time now, which will come up on the screen. That if you want to be a follower for the first time of Jesus today, then that prayer is for you. But you may already be a Jesus follower, but you're struggling because you keep going backwards with what if questions, which may you turn into questions of if only. And you're stuck with the if onlys. This prayer will help you to start to turn around, give that to Jesus, and move forward again. And maybe this morning you've got some what if questions looking forward, and you're thinking to yourself, I'd like to give that a go, but I just don't feel capable. I've got this business idea that I want to do, but I don't think I'm quite skilled enough and I haven't got enough resources. But what if, with God's help, I could? Maybe you're thinking of a leadership role and you're thinking, oh, I'm not sure, I'm not confident enough for that. But with Jesus, maybe yes. What if questions forward have hope and expectation? So the prayer's going to come up on the screen. It's three slides. And I invite you, if you wish, to join me in that prayer. And then after the prayer, we'll sing a song, and then we'll move into Holy Communion. So here's the prayer, and I invite you to say with me, if you wish. Dear Jesus, you said out loud, Dear Jesus, I want to trust my life into your hands. I believe you died for me on that first Good Friday. I trust that my mistaken choices, my past what-ifs and if-onlys, are forgiven by you. The old has gone and the new has come. I believe that you rose to new life on that first Easter Sunday. You say that I am raised with you, a new creation, and that my life and my eternity is in your hands. Therefore, my best is yet to come. Holy Spirit, as you raised Jesus from the dead, fill me now with that resurrection power. May I live for you in all I do, sharing your love with others, looking into the future with the what-ifs of wonder and worship until you come again. Amen. Amen.